Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome to the Tailgate Sports Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tanner Johnson. With me, as always, is Ricky Scott. What's up, Ricky?
What's up, Tanner?
Every time I introduce you, I just want to say, like, the red rifle, Ricky.
Ooh.
You ain't redhead, though. Can't say that.
Don't worry, I'll dye my hair just for you. Else.
Do that.
And then we got the voice, Tanner Johnson.
Yeah,
on the mic.
No, I don't like that. I don't like that, man.
I love it. So do our fans.
All right. Well, real quick, we are a two-man small business, so please show us your support by rating, commenting, subscribing, and sharing, as always. We do work really hard to get these things out to you, and please follow us on TikTok at Tailgate Sports Podcast and Instagram at Tailgate Sports Podcast 24. Check out our Patreon at Tailgate Sports patreon.com/tailgatesports for exclusive content that I'm going to be attempting to drop weekly. We are going to kind of have a few more breaks going on the next couple of weeks. It's just going to be one episode on for the next couple of weeks as I'm introducing a new member of my family, so that's going to be fun.
Don't worry, but he'll be our first guest.
Ricky, we were going to kind of do the preview this week. I know it's kind of late for the preview, but I don't know. We could kind of blow through it real quick, give our picks, and just some thoughts on this week of football. Kind of do another tailgate talk slash preview.
Have a little fun with it.
Yeah, you know.
So what do you think about that Snow Bowl and the Steelers and Browns?
I mean, it was classic AFC North. Kind of game, man.
Oh yeah, it was definitely a grinded out game.
Yeah, I was watching some highlights, and it just, you can tell that Russell Wilson isn't what he was, and that the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is just young.
Russell looks like he's been sneaking over to Philly and having too many cheese sticks.
That's what he's looked like for years, man.
Now he got a little thick over there. But
yeah,
if there's a player I want on my team that has heart and is willing to give his body up for the team, it's Jameis Winston.
Oh, yeah. Completely, man. I agree 100%. Jameis will do whatever he can. I mean, whatever. It means he's going to throw probably 5 interceptions and 5 touchdowns for you.
Oh, he definitely willed that team to a win.
So, and it's been nice to see Jerry Jeudy kind of come out of his shell after leaving Denver.
I think Amari Cooper's departure was definitely what he needed.
Yeah, just a lot more faith in him, it feels like. I don't know. Jerry Jeudy's just kind of an interesting case study on wide receiver in the NFL, man. He just, for whatever reason, was not working out in Denver. Gets traded for like pennies on the dollar, gets a decent mid-level wide receiver contract. And with Amari Cooper there, he's just not productive, not what you're paying him to be. And then the moment Amari Cooper leaves, he's all of a sudden just this crazy productive wide receiver who has gained 100% of the trust of Kevin Stefanski and Jameis Winston.
I mean, do you think he was the true number one over there in Denver? Or do you think Sutton was?
I think they couldn't decide.
So that could have been the thing, and the fact that Russell Wilson was his quarterback.
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy didn't fit Russell Wilson, kind of his wide receiver. Russell Wilson needs those outside big-bodied wide receivers now at this point in his career, and that's not what Jerry Jeudy does. He's a route-running kind of savant. That's what he is. He's going to run very crisp routes. He's going to get open. You know, sometimes he has bricks for hands, but you know, everyone develops a case of the bricks.
I mean, in Denver, his route running was great. There was plenty of times I've seen him wide open, and Russell definitely didn't look his way. And I was like, because you know, we played them twice a year, and he's running nasty ass routes.
Yeah, it totally reminds me of. Have you watched any of AD Mitchell on the Colts?
Not really. I haven't been paying attention to the Colts games.
So he's. He's their rookie wide receiver that they took in the second round.
He's out of Texas, right?
Yeah, out of Texas. If you watch him, he's open damn near every play. But early on in the season, it was very clear that I don't think he was running the routes, but he was just getting wide open. And Anthony Richardson wasn't throwing him the ball. or he was overthrowing him, underthrowing him, just whatever. But last week, he kind of got a large volume of catchable balls and showed what he was. He's honestly, to me, very clearly their number one wide receiver talent-wise. And it just, it was just funny to watch that once he became the focus of the offense for 1 week, he was incredibly productive and the offense was humming all week.
You know what it also reminds me of? When Mooney played for Denver.
Mooney?
Yeah. Mooney was a... He's a good wide receiver, definitely.
Darnell Mooney? You mean Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago. What did I say, Denver? Oh, sorry.
Denver?
I
was like,
my mind...
Mooney's not because that old.
because we're talking about the Broncos. I don't know why my mind automatically went over there. So for the Bears, my bad, my bad.
Yeah. Well, let's jump to a couple of the games coming up this week. We got the Panthers and the Chiefs, right?
Ooh.
Chiefs traveling to the Panthers.
Do you have any hot takes for that game?
I think the Panthers could beat the Chiefs.
Any weird intuition?
I just told you the Panthers can beat the Chiefs.
Adam Thielen's so, back, right?
Yeah, so it's not going to... It's really what version of the Panthers you're getting. Kind of play calling, Dave Canales. What he's going to do. Okay, because the Chiefs defense has one weak point. It's the rush defense, 100%. They do have, like, their third string corner playing right now, which could be an advantage as well. But honestly, the rush defense has suffered for years. It's kind of been neglected. George Karloftis has been a great edge-setting pass rusher for him in the run game. But it also doesn't line up with Chuba Hubbard's skill set, which is they're like contradicting each other because Chuba Hubbard, he loves to do this fucking stutter step as he gets right up onto the line right before he's hitting the hole. And
is he doing the Le'Veon Bell stutter or is he?
It's just like a triple stutter step to just make the linebacker guess wrong so that he can cut one direction or the other inside the hole. And sometimes it works. Like, it worked pretty well against Denver in a limited fashion. Because I watched the best defense that they had played against for some of his film, just to kind of look and see what it was. And the plays where he put his foot in the ground and decided sooner rather than getting to that third stutter step, he gained 6-7 yards a carry. But as soon as it just was a huge drastic change. If he hits that third stutter, he's going for one or 2 yards at most. If not, he's getting plugged up in the hole. And that's a lot of the same way that the Broncos play their defense is similar to what Steve Spagnuolo has the Chiefs defense playing. Because there are a lot of swarming to the ball, very heavy in this. Everyone is going to be next to the ball by the end of the play. Kind of coaching mentality. And I watched a little bit of the Chiefs against the Bills, and James Cook is way more explosive than Chuba Hubbard is. Way more. And the plays that Buffalo was getting over 4 yards on their carries, it was when James Cook was just planting and going. There was no hesitation. He knew exactly where he was going to go, and he just took off. And it also involved a lot of blocking of Nick Bolton. Okay, Nick Bolton, I think, is one of the most underrated linebackers and underrated parts of this Chiefs dynasty. I mean, his rookie season was the first Super Bowl that they won. And then he just got his third Super Bowl ring. I mean, he's their main run-defending linebacker.
Do you see the Panthers opening up the playbook a little bit more for Bryce Young? Do you think it's still limited?
I think they continue to open it up. I mean, he's looked pretty good. But part of my thing with watching that Denver tape, they only ran the ball 15 times. And that includes scrambles from Bryce Young.
You think they should have more run option with him?
No. Bryce isn't athletic. He's going to get killed. He should not be doing that.
I mean, but he can move.
He can move. He's just snap him like a twig.
It's the same thing with Chris Jaden Jones. Daniels. Every time he gets hit, I'm like...
Jaden Daniels is way more athletic is the problem.
But he's also way more athletic,
way more elusive, and he protects himself, and Bryce Young doesn't protect himself as well as Jaden Daniels does. But my biggest thing with this game is Chuba Hubbard can't be hitting that stutter step. He can't.
You're calling him the Carolina Panthers?
Yes, I am. But if he hits that stutter step, it allows Nick Bolton and just really the rest of the defensive backs to start swarming him, because the defensive line can be blocked pretty easily in the run game. But if Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil, especially if Leo Chanel's in the game, I think we're going to see a lot of Leo Chanel and less of Drew Tranquil, just because Tranquil's kind of their like coverage linebacker alongside Nick Bolton. Whenever you see Leo Chanel in the game, it's for run heavy teams. You saw that again in the Super Bowl against the 49ers. Like, Leo Chanel played a lot in that Super Bowl because 49ers are a run first team. And so seeing Leo Chanel out there will be a huge indication of how the defense is going to be looking for the Chiefs in this game. And if he's in the game, I honestly think it's going to be a blowout. The Panthers are going to get pantsed.
Who you got?
Chiefs by 11.
Well, they're favored by 10.5.
I have 11, boy. I would still take it at 11.
Yeah, I got the Chiefs by a touchdown. I don't think they got.
I just think they do. I think they're. It's not great.
Let's move on over to Dallas and Washington. I think it's just another easy game for the Commanders. A lot of people are hurt on that Dallas team. I don't think Diggs is playing. Who else is out?
For the Cowboys. Dallas.
Yeah.
Well, you don't believe in Cooper Rush?
So the funny thing about it is the ultimate troll move, you know, could happen here, and Dallas could pick up Daniel Jones because he's a free agent. And
this offseason?
Well, the Giants released him.
They just barely did?
Yeah, so I don't know if he has to be claimed off of waivers or if he can actually sign with any team he wants yet, but he's available. And then I think Dallas got the Giants on Thursday, right?
At least so.
Can you imagine Daniel Jones starting for the Cowboys on Thanksgiving? That's an ultimate troll move.
Yeah, so every team has an opportunity to claim him off of waivers. I don't think anyone does, because what it would mean if they claimed him off of waivers is then they would have to pay his current contract.
True, that's what they reported.
And so most likely he'll clear waivers and then someone will sign him as like a backup.
I want the Raiders to sign him as the rest of our season guy. The rest of our, what, a couple of games?
And just have it look like Justin Fields in Chicago.
I mean, it's better than watching Gardner Minshew shit the bed.
No, I like him force feeding Brock Bowers. Keep Gardner Minshew in there. Force feed Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers will carry me to a fantasy championship.
I think Danny Dimes will do that for you as well.
Oh, he's like blind eye to his fucking tight ends. Annoys the shit out of me.
Where's Malik Nabers? Like, throw the ball to anybody.
Sources say Daniel Jones is eyeing a playoff contender.
Well, yeah, he's never been to the playoffs. Oh, no, he has been to the playoffs. He got fucking destroyed by the Vikings.
No, he beat the Vikings.
He beat the Vikings. Who'd they lose to? They got hosed.
They got destroyed in the second round. Yeah, it was the Eagles.
Someone hosed them. I just remember, I was like, damn, I felt bad.
Yeah, they dumpstered the Vikings, and I called that game. The Vikings were a fake team that year. And the gritty New York Giants were going to beat him.
Is that the year that the Eagles beat the Niners when they hurt Purdy?
Yeah, that was the Eagles Super Bowl year.
Good year.
Bad year for the Giants. They should not have gone to the playoffs.
Did that get Danny Dimes that contract?
Over. Yep, right after that. Let's see.
Who you got with Dallas and Washington?
Dallas, Washington. I mean, it's a pretty clear Washington win. I just wonder kind of the effect of Micah Parsons in the game.
Never know. Dallas might give him a bunch of crappy food and give everybody food poisoning, hopefully.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's going to be what it is. It's going to be one of those boring games that not a lot of people are going to watch. I certainly hope Washington steamrolls him, except for CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb goes off.
A lot of delusional Cowboy fans will watch the game, so you can count on that.
The best are seeing the TikTok videos of the Dallas Cowboy fans like, which team shall I pick instead? Did you ESPN did a whole like cover story on Ashton Jeanty and how he's the Heisman favorite and how he played high school football in Naples, Italy. And that's why he like wasn't recruited at all. Otherwise, he probably would have been playing for Georgia or Alabama.
That dude plays in the Matrix.
If you had a chance to see this story, it's awesome because it has a bunch of clips of him in Italy. Just
destroying,
like a man amongst boys.
What was that one? Did you ever see on ESPN of that big ass, I think Samoan kid playing rugby with all the little kids? He was just straight steamrolling them.
It's the Brooklyn Nine-Nine bit. You guys have one play. Just give Terry the ball. No. Hike. Carry me, Terry.
I mean, we have to have a trap game, but I don't think that one's the trap game.
No, I think your trap game is Vikings-Bears.
Oh, I agree. So we both got Commanders. Covering?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not going to be close. Dang. The Bears should have won last week.
Should have beat the Commanders team.
The Vikings are susceptible. And they're not impervious, man. They give up a lot of yards passing. And if Caleb Williams can just keep his game clean, I think it'll be fine. I think they'll have a really, really good chance of winning.
Has he been the best fourth quarter rookie quarterback out of this draft class?
No, that's Drake May still.
Think so?
Oh, yeah. Drake May's led like three comebacks. He threw a pick in overtime against the Titans, but, you know, that's besides the point. But, I mean, those two wins from the Patriots, those are comeback wins with him as the starter. Like, they aren't. It's, like, not even close. Well, Jaden Daniels is the best overall, and Bo Nix is certainly pushing Jaden Daniels for that case.
I don't think. But, I think if anybody gets Rookie of the Year, it's going to be Jaden Daniels. I don't think. Even if Bo Nix, I don't think he has a chance for it.
No, he's not. Jaden Daniels has the storyline, too. Like, but the Commanders were projected a top five pick and to instantly be a playoff contender and beating, like, pushing the Ravens to the wire, pushing Philly, like, looking really good against really good teams.
It's like you said, they were projected for a top five pick. They were projected to be last in their division. And look at the favorites of that division are last place.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's kind of is what it is. I like Caleb Williams. I think he's the firing of Shane Waldron definitely gave him a boost. I saw the accountability that he got up in the middle of his meetings right after Waldron was fired and said, you know, guys, the firing of Shane was it's on me. I'm playing horrible. Like, took accountability for his poor performance, leading to the firing of a coach. And I think the whole team rallied around him with that accountability and definitely showed that they were willing to play for him.
Too bad you can't win Rookie of the Year based off leadership.
Yeah, so Jaden Daniels has it locked up unless he just snaps his leg in half.
I still think he has it locked up regardless. It's already sewn up. They already got the award ready to go.
But I do have the Bears winning this game, beating the Vikings.
I was going to agree with you. I think as much as I love him because he's a Trojan, Sam Darnold, I think this is the game where he completely just shits the bed.
Yeah, he's due for a meltdown. He had one meltdown earlier this year. I think he's due for another one.
So the Vikings are favored by, what, 3.5? And I got the Bears covering. I think they win by a field goal.
Yeah, I think the Bears win.
I'll be the coward and take the money line.
Well, either way, they'd cover the spread. With the Vikings being favorites, the Bears even losing by a field goal, they'd cover that spread. So outright winning, they're covering that spread too. The money line just gets you more money if you bet on it.
We like the money line. Let's move on over to your Tennessee Titans and
dumpster fire. I shouldn't say that. Will Levis has been playing really well the past couple weeks.
I mean, they're playing.
They're playing well, but it's still very clear that, man, their right tackle situation is not great.
I hope you guys win.
I definitely hope I don't. Like, I don't want them to win at all.
Yeah, neither do I. Except for the Raiders.
Yeah, because if they win, they'd bounce behind the Raiders. So if they won this week and say everyone like from Cleveland, Carolina, Dallas, the Jets, New England, Raiders, Giants, Jacksonville, they all lost this week. Say they all lose this week, except for the Titans. They would drop from the second overall pick down to seventh, I believe. Second to seventh, instantly, with one win.
Let's go Titans.
Please don't put that on me. I mean, the Texans are favored by 7.5, but I don't think that really matters.
Let's go Ballard. Rush for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, again, it's going to be that rushing game. It's Tony Pollard putting his foot in the ground. Tyjae Spears is out again. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, yeah, you've been out all year.
I think word is
so annoyed.
A bad pedicure and messed up his feet.
Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are just going to feast. Like, whoever is lined up on the right tackle that they've been like putting in a freaking turnstile. They keep rotating who's been there. Whoever's on that side is just going to feast. I think Calvin Ridley is going to play really well, like he has been down the stretch. But if for the fantasy managers out there, okay, here's your fantasy point of the week. Low-key sleeper. Yeah, low-key sleeper. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He's Titans wide receiver. He has had a touchdown in 5 of the last 6 weeks. And is only behind. He is only behind. Who is he behind? I love this as like, if you're in a 12-man league, you're kind of looking for those subtle edges over players, especially if especially with teams being on bye. Like, there's 6 teams on bye week this week. Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw the list. It's freaking insane.
Like, there's a shit ton of teams on a bye this week. And so Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has found the end zone in 5 of the last 6 games and has the 3rd most receiving touchdowns among wide receivers since week 6.
Just real quick, we have the Falcons, Bills, Bengals, Jaguars, Saints, and Jets on byes.
Yeah, Ikhine, he's played 94% of the Titans snaps. He's averaging 13.4 fantasy points a week. Okay. He's a hit at least 12 fantasy points in 3 of the last 4 games. And against the Texans this week, I mean, 7 wide receivers individually have scored 17 fantasy points against the Texans secondary over that same time period, over 4 weeks. So I think he's your little nugget for your fantasy community. If you're looking for a win in this large bye week, Ikhine will buy you a week of sustainable progress or sustainable scoring, I guess. He's not a bad anytime touchdown bet either.
Houston's favored by 7.5.
Yeah.
I think they cover.
I think they're fine. They're one of those teams that if everything fits into place perfectly, they can beat anyone in the NFL. But they've had injuries and rotating turnstile at left guard. It's like all these random just little things have been keeping them from hitting their full potential. But if with Nico Collins back last week, they just look completely transformed. Like they look like they should have blown the doors off of Dallas. They should have won by another 14 points.
They failed then.
But I think Nico Collins is the engine to that whole offense. We did say it was Joe Mixon a couple of weeks ago, but it very clearly is Nico Collins.
I'd have a bet.
I mean, he's definitely a... I would put him in a top 10 wide receivers.
Yeah, definitely. Especially with last year's outing.
I wouldn't even say Devontae Adams. He was highly touted in his draft, but just one of those later round wide receivers that got drafted and developed into something truly special.
So let's move on over to Detroit and Indy.
This is a trap game too.
Oh,
it's which version of Anthony Richardson are you going to get? Is he going to get 5 big time throws and one turnover worthy play, making plays with his legs. He's got A.D. Mitchell working, Josh Downs working. Is he working in Jonathan Taylor in the option run game? It's just, which version are you going to get? Because if you get his height of ability, you get Josh Allen, where they can literally beat anyone. But you also get the inverse of that, and they could lose by 20. Because the Lions are going to put up points. It's just a matter of the Colts putting up anything.
Yeah.
The over-under point total for the game is at 50.5, 50.5. And I would take the over.
How's that trade working out for them? For the defensive player they traded for?
The Colts?
Yeah, no, the Lions.
Za'Darius?
Yeah.
He hasn't played yet.
When is he available for them?
He's been out for personal reasons.
Is he mad that he went to the Lions?
No, they're giving him his time. That's an excellent question, though. So, yeah, he did not make his debut. Yes, well, I think he's
the Lions like that.
I think he is expected to play this week against.
I hope he balls out as a game.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I want to see how they use him. Oh, Jonathan Brooks for the Panthers is expected to play.
See what he does. Is he going to be a boom or a bust? I mean, I don't think you'll be able to measure that for the rest of the remaining of the season. Didn't have a training camp, and you know.
Yeah.
It's unfair to be that harsh on these rookies during the season.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, honestly. Yeah. I think Anthony Richardson plays well, but Detroit's just a house right now. There's nothing you can do against them.
I think they're locked in. I mean, I just pray that Jared Goff stays that way.
Oh.
But they've also shown that he can throw five picks and still win a game.
Yep, he did play last week against Jacksonville. So I think he is the key, man. I think he's going to have a tough outing against a really good Colts offensive line. But as a whole, I think they're going to force Anthony Richardson to make plenty of mistakes.
Has there been any word put out on Hutch's recovery?
He is currently rehabbing. I mean, he's already walking on it.
Jesus Christ.
I saw a video of him doing like the underwater treadmill with his leg. That's crazy. Yeah. That soon after surgery.
Same thing with Rodgers last year. Seeing him walk around and throw the ball. It's like, what are you doing, guy?
Yeah. I think Aiden Hutchinson's going to, well, his goal is to be back before the Super Bowl. But if they make the Super Bowl, he's playing in it. I can almost 100% tell you that.
That's what they play for. It's all or nothing.
So if he plays in that Super Bowl, if he's even like 70%, 80% of what he was, I say they win that Super Bowl.
I just see the Lions being too locked in right now. I don't see a weak spot. The only weak spot I see it is the inconsistencies with Goff.
Well, they showed that even if Goff has a meltdown, 5 interceptions, they'll still win.
Yeah.
So it's just how bad of a meltdown. That's pretty bad. 4 bad interceptions. And a 5th, just Hail Mary interception. Which Hail Mary interceptions, they should just not count on the stat sheet at all. But, you know, whatever. Is there another game you want to kind of talk about before we just kind of, you know, shoot the shit a little?
Yeah, I got the Lions covering that game. Just close it out.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely don't feel like talking about the Raiders Broncos. You already know. I mean, it's a trap game in my eyes. I think the Raiders can win, but I don't want them to. So we'll skip that. Niners, Packers. I mean, Packers are balling. I'm going to take that.
Yeah, they jumped out from a 2.5-point favorite to 5.5 after Brock Purdy was announced to be out.
Is it a game that
I might ball in one game.
What is it? Eagles, Rams?
Hell no. It's Monday Night Football.
Ravens, Chargers? Let's
rematch of the Harbaugh brothers.
So this is a game where I picked the Ravens to win.
That is insulting to Justin Herbert and the Chargers organization, and I take great offense to that. I can't even do this podcast anymore.
I'm a Raiders fan. I'm going to offend him as much as I can.
Ladd McConkey is going to show up at your door all spindly 180.
He's going to shake my hand all nice. Hey, how you doing, sir?
Yes, I am only 5'9".
And he's going to end up like Ricky Parcells.
Do his best fucking mini Mickey Mouse impression. Hello, sir. It's like the little gingerbread man in Shrek.
At the gumdrop buttons.
That's awesome. So what about this game intrigues you the most besides the the Harbol? What do we call it? The Harbol?
I mean, it's not the Harbol. You got two MVP candidates facing off. You got Lamar going against the best statistical defense in the league in the Chargers. You got Justin Herbert going against a still solid Rams defense. So,
I mean, if you're going to call Justin Herbert an MVP candidate, I think he's the bottom half of it, like the taint or something like that.
How dare you speak ill of
Lamar Jackson's a front runner. He's having a better season than his last two MVP outings.
Oh, 100%. I don't like he is having definitely the best season of his career. So here's your current standings.
Okay.
If you want to make some money here.
Let's do it.
Okay, Josh Allen's the favorite.
What?
At plus 125. Okay, and that's just coming off the Chiefs win with the Bills, you know, all that.
Fucking boosted him.
Oh yeah, 100% boosted him over Lamar. That's the gap between Lamar is only plus 200. Like he's right behind Josh Allen. It is just because Josh Allen beat the Chiefs that he's ahead.
And the results are in. You are the father.
You got Jared Goff at the third best odds at plus 600. Jalen Hurts at plus 1,200. Patrick Mahomes at plus 1,300. Kyler Murray at plus 1,500. Then Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert at plus 2,000. You want to make some money?
Justin Herbert.
If the Chargers win out, Justin Herbert wins MVP.
But like I said, they're only going to win 10 games.
That is insulting to my honor as a football enthusiast. They win at least 12 games, boy.
Ain't happening.
They're going to win this week. They're going to dumpster. Who the fuck are they playing next week? I totally forgot already. Who the hell are they playing?
That is the Broncos.
They are playing the Falcons next week.
Oh, yeah. Falcons and Broncos.
So they're gonna beat the Ravens. They're going to beat the Falcons. They're going to hand Kansas City their second loss. They're going to dumpster the Bucks. They're going to turn Bo Nix into a child's toy, the Broncos. They're going to beat New England because, you know, New England's a dumpster fire and at that point should be trying to lose.
Hey, Drake May's locked in, all right?
Yeah, locked in. Yeah, I believe in Drake May. Love him. But, you know, ain't beating the Chargers. And then they're going to dumpster the Raiders. You know what that brings them to? Okay. You know what that brings them to? They're 7-3 right now. They go undefeated the rest of the way. Number one seed in the playoff.
Sure. Did you stop at the dispensary before you went home?
Drinking a little bit too much Kool-Aid off of these fucking cough drops.
Had too much, a little bit of a grandfather's cough syrup.
But in all seriousness, I think the likelihood of the Chargers winning out versus finishing with 10 wins, I think I'm leaning more at the winning out. Sorry about that.
See
Oof, man, I am fucking sneezing up a storm. Hopefully I muted that on time.
I think you did. Perfect. I didn't hear nothing.
Oh, perfect then.
But you're good. We're human. You know. We get sick too.
I'm just 100% leaning on the Chargers winning more towards the winning out versus the 10 wins. Like they're guaranteed at least three more wins throughout the rest of the season.
Super high on them. I hate it because I just don't see it. You see all this fantastic stuff and I don't see it.
I see Justin Herbert playing like Josh Allen is what I do.
You have too much faith in him.
So, you know, put a dollar down on it. Okay. Put a buck.
That Justin Herbert wins MVP?
Oh, yeah. That's where I'm leaning.
I mean, that's a waste of 100 pennies.
Josh Allen's a waste of 100 pennies. He's not going to win it.
No, definitely not. See, Lamar gets his third MVP.
And then loses in the first round of the playoff again.
Bom, bom, bom. Story of his life. Gets a lot of accolades. No hardware.
I mean, it's just like watching film and stuff. It's been entertaining to watch. This year's just been so weird. It's just been so weird. Like for offenses football, yes. have diversified their attack. Like the Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, Chargers are leaning into this reception production by committee approach. Like, they're not focusing too hard on one guy or one option. They're allowing their quarterbacks and their systems to progress the offense and lift everyone around them. And defenses were dominating the first month of the season. They were offensive line play was down overall. Scoring was down. Yards was down. Everything was down. And now the offensive resurgence has come as these quarterbacks have all ascended to this higher level of play. I don't think that's just a coincidence. I think you're truly seeing the elite of the elite quarterbacks separating themselves from the rest of the league. That elite tier of quarterback is Patrick Mahomes, 1A, one of one. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert are all in that elite tier for me. And that my definition of elite is the quarterback that can drag their teams to wins. And you've clearly seen that with the Chargers, with Justin Herbert. You've seen that with Joe Burrow. I mean, he is the masterclass of controlling his whole offense, just like Tom Brady was. You see that with Lamar Jackson willing the Ravens to wins when his receivers aren't doing enough for him. Josh Allen is like the human fucking joystick, just trying to cheat code his way into winning every game.
His way into the end zone.
Yeah, and then so can Patrick Mahomes. Trust me, I watched that game.
Oh, yeah.
That's just such a sad thing to see. Malik Mustafa was playing so well for a rookie and just gets truck-sticked in the end zone, and that's all anyone will ever remember of this year of his.
Got stamped.
Who are your top five quarterbacks? I'm curious. Or what are your tiers, I guess? What do you define as elite?
It's definitely not Gardner Minshew, I'll tell you that much.
So Will Levis is in your elite tier?
Definitely not. Let's see. Are we talking about all-around career?
Just... like first, just define elite quarterback to you.
Definitely,
what is an elite quarterback?
He's alone by himself. It's like you said, anybody that can pull it out without, you know, carry that team. You hit it. Like, is there any better way to say it?
Maybe consistently, because like you've seen Jared Goff will the Lions to a win here, or the Rams to a win there.
Yeah,
but it wasn't ever consistent.
I don't see Purdy as being elite. I think a lot of people see that otherwise, but I think they're delusional. I think he's more of a game manager than an elite quarterback.
I agree with him, yeah, not being elite. I don't think he has hit that point where he raises that whole level, but there's no denying that he's a great quarterback without being an elite quarterback. Like, he's in that next tier down for me.
I mean, it's the same thing with, I mean, saying Lamar. Do you think a Lamar Jackson at 18? You think he's elite?
Yeah.
He kind of disappears in the playoffs when he needs to win. He wins these amazing games. He does these amazing things all season, but then like none of that happens at all in the playoffs.
The Chiefs playoff game last year. Okay. I think the biggest thing for me is play calling got bad in that game. They just completely went away from the run game that was working extremely well against the Chiefs and probably would have got them the win had they kept to it. And the single other play that I look at is Zay Flowers fumbling out of the end zone.
Yes.
That lost them the game. Had they not fumbled the ball out of the end zone, they win and go to the Super Bowl.
So is Jalen Hurts elite?
No, he's that next tier down. I think
he's
after
the
last
same quarterback
year,
as Lamar Jackson. Except for not, he don't run like him. He don't have the finesse.
Lamar Jackson's a way better passer than Jalen Hurts is. Way better. This year, way better passer.
Jalen Hurts. This year, yes, but I don't think he's a way better passer than him.
I think you saw Jalen Hurts with Shane Steichen in that magical year where they made the Super Bowl run. And then the next year, the whole offense looked dysfunctional.
I think he makes throws like an NFL quarterback should make throws, fits in super tight spots. I think Lamar Jackson.
I agree too.
He hits players in big holes, and once the plays break down, he makes amazing plays.
Yeah. I just think Lamar's quarterbacking this season has ascended to that elite level. His passing has ascended to that. His playmaking ability has always been elite. But you watch Week 1 against the Chiefs, a toe. But who else is making that throw? that tight window throw to Isaiah Likely for that final touchdown. Like, he's making big time throws every week that you're just like, oh my gosh, he wouldn't have made that last year.
So Stroud elite?
No. He's too... This season has shown that he needs an elite receiver in order to look as good as he did last year.
And one last one is Eli Manning elite.
He never was.
I mean, he gutted the goat twice.
Yep. Everyone loses. It's just really what it is. I mean, Michael Strahan was on that defense the first time.
Second time?
The second time was just, he just beat him. He made throws when he had to. That was Eli's whole career. He wasn't ever consistent, and that's my point with this elite status, is consistency. He was like Jared Goff, where every so often he'd hit this just magical golden button and just be the greatest quarterback on the field for a game.
I mean, don't disappear in the playoffs, I'll call you elite.
Yeah, I'll give that to you. That's your opinion's your opinion. Yeah. I'll give that to you. But Eli Manning is, I mean, he made like a handful of playoff appearances. His only real wins in the playoffs were those two Super Bowl runs. Like, current quarterbacks, I think it's just, like I said, there's that separation, and there's a next tier.
Mahomes, Allen, I guess we'll put Jackson in there.
And I think Joe Burrow, man.
What about Jordan Love? What about Jordan Love? He's winning these games. He's too erratic
right now. He is a gamer, but he's, to me, he has played his way into that tier of great quarterback, but he has required his team and mostly Matt LaFleur to get him out of those sticky situations so far. And so I just need to see more. It's kind of like the Stroud thing. Like, I need to see more. Purdy, I need to see more. Like, show me that you can take that step. I know you're great. Show me what the elite guys do. And then we can revisit that conversation.
There's only a handful of these guys that are interchangeable and still being the same quarterbacks they are. Like,
oh yeah,
putting them in a different team, different situation.
Yeah. Like, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. I would put Justin Herbert in there. Joe Burrow's kind of a tricky one with that, just because he has had his entire career in the same system, and you've seen the true mastery of it is his superpower. And so I'm a little worried about the Joe Burrow in a different situation. But I think those four, for sure, given opportunities to actually use the gifts that they have, they show you that they're elite.
Joe Burrow's taken some hits that he shouldn't have taken, had some injuries that he shouldn't have had.
I mean, he had that weird fucking wrist one, just throwing the ball, right?
Yeah, that was strange.
Like, the doctor said, they've never seen a quarterback have it as a non-contact injury.
Like Mahomes, like Allen.
Yeah. I also find it funny that they're all in the AFC. And so, like, the Raiders, the Broncos, this is why Bo Nix is inevitably going to fail. Okay? Because he has to go through three of Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow.
Justin Herbert elite?
Yes. Absolutely. He was the best part of that entire Chargers team with Brandon Staley. With no, like, he had an aging Keenan Allen, a Mike Williams who was constantly just hurt. And you see him this year, like, fully just relaxed and feels like his coach believes in him, and he's just unleashed himself.
You're talking about the same Justin Herbert that had all his weapons healthy that lost to the Raiders to get into the playoffs when it mattered to us.
Was that last year?
No, that was like 2 years ago.
2 years ago, they went to the playoffs.
The Raiders, you mean?
The Chargers.
It was 20 when the Rams won the Super Bowl.
That was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Was it already? Jeez, how time flies. Yeah, it's like
4 years ago. Because like it was Chiefs, Rams.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
No, it was Chiefs, Bucks, Rams. Because it was the back to backs. Like, the Bucks won it in Tampa, the Rams won it in SoFi, and then it was Chiefs. So yeah, 3 years ago.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
Yeah,
you said four.
That was the the first year of Brandon Staley when they weren't supposed to be that good. And then the following year they made the playoff.
Got shit stomped.
Shit stomped by the Jaguars. That one I 100% put on Brandon Staley.
That's just the Chargers. That's not Brandon Staley. That's the Chargers being the Chargers. That's always how.
Just watch. Jim Harbaugh, he's got the magic touch, man. Everywhere he goes, he wins. He makes winners out of losers.
I mean, that's not necessarily true. He didn't win the Super Bowl. He lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he got to the Super Bowl after the 49ers have been defunct for years.
I mean, yeah,
playing with Colin Kaepernick as his quarterback.
Playing a quarterback that no one had tape on.
Everyone has tape on Justin Herbert, and he's putting up these numbers.
What is he putting up?
He's winning every game. What are you talking about? He's
playing okay. Don't give him too much credit.
Oh, my gosh. Get out of here. He's the fifth-ranked quarterback for PFF right now. Okay, let's jump into this.
I think I'm top 10 if I slide them a check.
Let's see. Justin Herbert. Okay. Let's drop some bombs on you. All right. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 5 out of the six past weeks. So since week 6, he has had over 237 yards. Okay. Passing. He has zero interceptions during that time. He has one on the season. He has 13 touchdowns. Okay. His big time throw rate this season is at a killer 7.1. And since week 6, 1, 4, 5, 1, 3, 4 elite grades in every single one of those weeks. He has had four turnover-worthy plays since week 6. 2 in week 6 and 2 this past week against Cincinnati. That is elite play over the past 5-6 weeks once their offense got humming.
Herbert will be Herbert. He will blow it.
Just watch. Oh, do you want to place a little friendly wager on it?
What's your friendly wager? So I can laugh at you.
Let's go to their schedule first.
Okay. Dude, you went over their schedule.
I need to see it again. Okay, I got the memory of a goldfish here.
We know that.
Okay, so they got the Ravens this week. They're 7-3 right now.
They're gonna lose the Ravens.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They got 7 games left. I think they go 12-5 to finish the year.
For the last 7 games, 3-4.
Okay,
and that puts them at 10.
Okay. $20, okay? If they get only 10 wins over the rest of the season, you can keep your USC 8-win $20 bet. But if they hit that 12 mark, that's $40 you owe me, boy.
I know $40, but let's run it.
Okay, if they hit 11, whatever. It's a push. We'll be in the middle. It's a push. I think 12 or over, you think 10 and under.
I like it. I like it. But it ain't going to happen. They're going to win 10 games.
All right. We'll be watching. You'll get, you're going to feel that little sweat start going down your neck as you're watching the Chargers steamroll the Ravens. You're like, no, I was wrong.
And then they lose to the Falcons and you get nervous.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome. Well,
thanks, everybody, for listening this week. And please show us some support by rating, commenting, subscribing, and sharing. Follow us on TikTok at Tailgate Sports Podcast and Instagram at Tailgate Sports Podcast 24. Ricky, you got anything else for the lovely listeners?
Man, we just appreciate you guys so much. If you guys can share with your friends, you know, repost on your Instagram, tag us in with anything. We'll repost you guys. We'll shout you out. You know, just spread the love and we'll show it back.
Yeah, the fastest way to get in contact with us is definitely direct message us on Instagram. Easiest way to do it. We definitely will read all those and respond as many as we can. All right. Thank you. And thanks, Ricky, for another week.
Sounds good.